Blog Talk Radio.
Nalema kulila misozi, nikayanga na banja latu. Kupadwa tinabadwa mushe, koma lelo lipazulika. Nikale tinakalapo okondwela, lelo heka, tutikumbukila kweta chokela. Amai kubutika mutima, koma zoti tazisoa. Nimaona misozi masomwake, nimavuto abale nimavuto. Kumwanako kuipirendi kuchitoko na mumufolo. Hamama inei iziwanda zota nizi. Taeza talema na yomapempelo. Ati kapena siku lina azati kumbukila oye. Chifu kwa lelo bantu bonse basoweza ulemu. Atate imwe, atate imwe.
Welcome to Zambia Blog Talk Radio. June the 25th, 2016. We are almost going beyond the halfway mark of the year as we see things progress, transform. Zambia, the United States are both in the hype and at the peak of a campaign period. Therefore, it's important to talk to our legal practicing friends for them to give us some understanding of some constitutional requirements and on the part of campaigning parties, politicians. Zambia has experienced a lot of transformations in terms of constitutional issues, and Ms. Linda Kasonde, first woman president, Law Association of Zambia, will be joining us shortly here as we connect to Lusaka to discuss some of these things and the issues that are ahead of us. After this show, a heated discussion will be coming up on issues to do with violence in Zambia, and I think it's going to be live on one of the radio stations in Lusaka. Dr. Kalonde, good morning. Welcome back.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning, Kelvin. Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you doing?
Okay.
You are not clear. Your line sounds fuzzy. I don't know why. Yes, that's good. Ms. Kasonde.
I was greeting Dr. Kalonde.
Oh, okay.
How are you, Kelvin? Sorry, I didn't.
I'm doing well.
I can hear you very. I can hear very, very clear.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Okay, I'm waiting for Roger here to connect Ms. Kasonde in Zambia. Dero, hi. Good afternoon again. Dr. Munsanje, how have you been?
Okay, I'm looking forward to this discussion. I think it is very, very important, and thank you for Zambia Blog Talk Radio for bringing this show.
Yes, it's important. Of course, she's going to educate us and inform us on a lot of things. And especially matters to do with the Constitution, it's better to talk to the experts about these issues. We need to understand where Allah is coming from, where it is going, and what some of the issues that they are dealing with.
Yes.
Okay. We seem to be having a problem with the number here. Okay. There are a lot of things that we need to look at in terms of. I hope we get to connect her because we're having a challenge here already with the number. I hope that it doesn't end up being a disaster. But we shall do what we can do. There are a lot of issues. The introduction of the Constitution and Appeals Courts. Some of the things I'd like her to discuss is appointment of judges, because what we can see, I feel that probably to me, it is looking like the president is just appointing the judges, but I just want her to explain what is going on behind the scenes, okay, and things like that, because we don't want to make assumptions. I moved away from that thing of making conclusions and assumptions before finding out from the person concerned. That's why this show is called Perspective, because you get it from the perspective of the person or individual concerned rather than before you make your own conclusion or whatever.
Yes.
Things go on.
Yes.
So it's important that we do that, and we hope that we'll be able to connect Ms. Kasonde here. Actually, even when I tried to talk to her during the week, I had the same problem. The first time I tried to call, it wasn't going through. So we'll see what we can do with that. In Dallas, on tomorrow, we are going to have a town hall meeting based on these same issues that are going on. Our political situation in the country and everything going on. So one of our colleagues has stepped up to the plate and is going to host a town hall meeting. Daniel, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Doing good, my friend. Could you tell us about what will be going on tomorrow in Dallas?
Yes, yes. Tomorrow around 6 o'clock p.m. To 8 p.m., we are going to have a town hall meeting. And, of course, we'll just be discussing democracy and development and also involvement of the diaspora. So we will discuss in generality of the issues that is going on in Zambia, and in particular upcoming elections. So we have invited some notable people to be on the panel. So everyone is invited to come to this discussion. And the other thing is, what we have decided is to make sure that this discussion will be on video, so that people can also, those that are not based in Dallas, can be able to watch it later. So that's what we are doing in Dallas.
Okay, that's good. What we shall do is, where is it being held, Dania? What's the venue?
The venue is we are hosting it from a Global Fellowship Church. Pastor Mwenya, he extended the hand to us and allowed us to have this meeting in his church in the evenings after the main service. So in the evening, that's where we're going to have this meeting. It will be in Richardson, actually, on 1059 Sherman Road or Street in Richardson.
Okay. After our discussion with Ms. Kasonde, we shall talk more about that. And we're going to have about 20-30 minutes open discussion so that we can just review some of the things that are happening and are going on so that we know what is happening. I hope we do manage to get her, because at times connections to Zambia can be a challenge, but I'm sure it's going to work out. Okay, campaign season, a lot of things going on, and all these things, like I said, Zambia and America, we are in the same situation. Mr. Trump is in, Mr. Trump is in Scotland, and he made a statement there, which people reacted or responded to, whatever the case you want to put it, and that is the situation right there. But that's what is going on the ground and a lot of things. And everybody remember again, at the end of this show, when this one ends on top of the hour, 1 p.m. Eastern, I believe, Roger is coming up again. There's going to be a live discussion, and this will be broadcast live too on one of the radio stations in Zambia, who is the cause of this violence, political violence that is going on in Zambia during this campaign period, which is really not necessary. It's not necessary, if anybody should ask me. Okay, we are waiting to see if we can get Mr. Sonde here in Lusaka. She's the first woman or female vice president to be elected as last president. So we are looking forward to that discussion. Let me see. Roger, good morning. Okay. I think he's still trying to work on that. So there's a lot of things that are coming up. Everybody just stay tuned and we will see what happens with that. Okay. Dr. Munsanje.
Yes.
It's been a while since you were on this forum. I know you are on and off. You are traveling, going to Canada, and doing
yes.
all, taking care of family issues and responsibilities. And what feedback are you getting from your colleagues, your team members, your confidants on the ground in Zambia? What is happening?
I think I can use it, the term total confusion on the issue between the post and the ZRA. Some people say that it is political. Others they say that yes, the post needs to pay. So as a result, I'm left confused, and this is one of the issues which I wanted the chairman for the Law Association of Zambia. Can he give us light to find out what exactly the truth is? Because as far as I'm concerned, we don't know the truth, and we all live in America where the IRS is known for such kind of things. That they are not going to let you not pay their taxes. Yes, everybody should in Zambia should pay taxes. Yeah, so I don't know what the situation. That is something that my colleagues calling, contacting me in Zambia, they are also split. They don't know whether this is political because of what the post has been doing, exposing. They say that they dig deeper, but who knows what is going on? They needed to pay their taxes too.
We had a detailed discussion about that. I am not going to let us go there again.
Okay, Nathan, I think we are good to go. Nathan,
we are good to go. Okay,
thank you.
All right, thank you, Roger. I appreciate that. We are very honored and privileged to be joined this morning from Dallas, Texas, where I'm hosting. And good afternoon in Zambia, by Ms. Linda Kasonde. She's the first, I don't know whether to say, woman or female elected president of the Law Association of Zambia. Mr. Sonde got a law degree from the University of Leicester, and she has a master's too from the University of Cape Town. In 2014, she was endowed or bestowed with the Archbishop Desmond Tutu Leadership Fellow. Ms. Kasonde, good afternoon, and thank you for joining us.
Good afternoon. How are you?
Doing good. Thank you. We're greatly honored. I'm going to be your host this afternoon, Nathan Inkama. You have the world as your audience. Zambians are listening. Zambians and non-Zambians, for that matter, are listening to you worldwide. Let me begin by also conveying our hearty congratulations from the Zambia Block Talk Radio team and the diaspora at large as a community on being elected to this prestigious office.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
You're welcome. What really is the role of Law Association President, Ms. Kasonde? When I looked at the website of the previous president, I noticed that the term of office is very short. What can really one achieve in 1-2 years?
Nathan, I don't know if you can make any adjustments to your audio. It's not coming out clearly, and Mr. Carson can't hear you that much.
All right, let me try to make some adjustments here. Did you hear my question, Ms. Kasonde?
Could you repeat it, please?
I said, what really is the role of the Law Association president? When I looked at the website of the previous presidents, I noticed that nobody serves beyond 2 years. What can one really achieve in such a short period of time?
Firstly, the role of the president of the Law Association is to give policy direction to the association. The association, in terms of carrying out its objectives, and its objectives are to regulate the profession, to promote and protect the rule of law, constitutionalism, good governance, and social justice. I think probably the reason why most people don't stay for longer than 2 years is not because of any restriction, but there's actually a lot that's done within that time, and probably because the services are voluntary. It does take away from the practice of the law, which the presidents are doing at the same time as performing their role.
Okay. You obviously, this is a milestone. You are the 33rd president, and even the Republican president did send you a congratulatory message. It's interesting what he said. Let me read it to you. This is President Lungu. He said, and I quote, President Lungu said that Kasonde is known as a change champion and successfully helped organize the International Bar Association's Women Lawyers Business Initiative in 2015, end of quote. My reading that quote, Ms. Kasonde, is to ask you, what should we expect from the Kasonde administration?
During my tenure, I want to ensure that LAS remains a progressive, relevant, and responsive organization, both to the needs of the members as well as the needs of society, in carrying out the objectives of the association.
Okay. In your years as a woman lawyer, what are some of the challenges you have faced, and have you seen any changes in those things that you experienced in your early years?
There have been a few challenges, but I actually think I've been very lucky in my practice. in both the organizations that I've worked in. I've had very supportive bosses and partners, so the challenges have been very few. But of course, I have interacted with some people who don't expect as much from a woman as they would a man, or don't expect, for example, to see a woman in authority. And so I've had a few challenges along the way in that regard. But I have to say that the election itself highlighted a lot of challenges that women still face in trying to get positions of authority. And watching the American elections, I've seen many things, similar things that were said to me during my election. That it just appears to be some higher bar that women have, that men aren't expected to. Madeline Albright, who said that there's plenty of room in the world for mediocre men. So there's no room in the world for mediocre. They have to prove themselves above and beyond the standard expected of men generally.
Okay. Interesting. I also noticed that in your inaugural speech, you mentioned the Lazi's role as to promote and protect constitutionalism. Can you explain or elaborate what that means?
Well, that's just one of the objectives. As I mentioned, the full objectives are to regulate the profession, to promote and protect the rule of law, constitutionalism, good governance, and social justice. That's just summarizing what the objectives are. Because our objectives are statutory, they're in the statute. But in terms of constitutionalism, what that means is so a government drives its powers and is limited in its powers by a fundamental law, and that law is the constitution. So nobody, including the government, is above the constitution, and they have to act within the limitations provided within the constitution. That's what constitutionalism means.
Okay. Okay. A lot of people, and I'll be honest with you, including myself, I feel that almost all the administrations that we've had in Zambia have had no respect for the Constitution. And I don't know your association to what extent you feel that you have contributed in trying to ensure that the administration in power operates and governs within the Constitution. To what extent does Lars influence that?
To what extent does Lars do what?
To what extent does Lars influence?
Your line was cutting when you said there are a lot of things, Nathan, I don't know why. But you may the whole thing. Yeah.
Oh, okay. I was saying, Mr. Sonde, that a lot of people, including myself, if I may be honest, feel that our various administrations or parties that have led the country do not have respect for the Constitution. To what extent does Lars see its role in ensuring that the government in power does that, respect the Constitution?
I think
Your line is breaking up, Ms. Kasson, so we can't hear you.
Seriously.
We have. Okay.
Hello?
Hello?
We can barely hear you.
Yeah, it is breaking up everywhere. We had a number. services, Councilman, then maybe I could have used there to call you on another number.
I'm afraid I don't have another number.
Okay. Okay, we'll try. We'll try and survive with this one.
Oh, yeah, we'll try to survive with it. Uh-huh.
Yeah. Go ahead.
So I was just saying that I think Lyle has performed its role as a watchdog in various regards. You may have seen some of the skeptics taken to court to challenge some government decisions that we felt not over the years.
Yes.
Particularly the new amendments to the Constitution, many of which have yet to be. For example, you're aware that we've taken the issue of the ministers staying in their role after the dissolution of Parliament as an example,
yes.
Or challenging the Public Order Act. So there are various ways in which there's a lot of these measures. We do try and engage the government when we can, but if that fails, then we just have to go to court.
Okay. Excellent. Interesting. You are listening to Zambia Block Talk Radio. Our featured guest this weekend is Ms. Linda Kasonde. As you may be aware, she's the first woman president elected in the Law Association of Zambia. Ms. Kasonde, there are some concerns that have been expressed concerning the way LAS has operated in the past. Could you share with us how the membership, or probably when somebody takes office in LAS, how they try to balance between their personal political persuasion or whichever political party they belong to, and their work in the Law Association of Zambia?
Well, LAS is a nonpartisan institution. That is, as an institution, we don't take sides.
Okay.
You know, our training as lawyers, we're actually trained to look at the merits of an issue. And I think if the concept of partisanship means that you side with one side all the time, regardless of the merits, which defeats the purpose non-partisanship. So really, as an organization, we try and look at issues on the merits as opposed to any personal agenda or thoughts on issues. And we do that through consultation and deliberation on various issues. And so when we speak, we speak as an organization, not as individuals.
Okay. So we are going to take it that when you stand up to make a statement, it was done from a position of a group of people within LAS sitting together, not Mr. Sonde as an individual. Is that right?
Correct. Correct. I'm merely the spokesperson. I speak on behalf of the organization.
Okay. The reason I'm raising that point is that when we advertised you coming on this show, some people on social media made some statements that she's already backtracking on the referendum. So I said, well, we're going to ask how these things are done as LAS. The reason that issue is arising, Ms. Kasonde, is that when one of your predecessors, let me just say, Mr. Musa Mwenya, used to, of course, speak on behalf of LAS as president. Then he ends up in the PF cabinet. Don't you think that sends the wrong message?
Sorry?
I'm saying one of your previous predecessors, Mr. Musa Mwenya, to be specific, when he spoke as president of LAS, of course, speaking on behalf of your association, then the PF comes into government and is part of the PF cabinet. Don't you think that sends a wrong message?
Well, Mr. Mwende, exercise his freedom of expression and individual preference. I don't think that's a reflection on the entire institution. But in respect of the allegation that Lass has backtracked, I think I would like to make it clear that the media, we issued a three or four page statement, and unfortunately, most of the media missed out the part that explained our position clearly. We said that Lass is on record as having stated that holding a referendum alongside the election at such short notice is not ideal, as the citizens' vote may be unduly influenced by their political affiliation and because very little time has been afforded for sensitization of the public on the process and implications of the referendum. And we also said that Lass expressed reservations about the manner in which the referendum question has been phrased, as it does not afford the voters the opportunity to take a differing view on the two issues being presented before them in a single question. And then we said, Lass maintains that view, but our concerns over the process have not been listened to. We engaged the Attorney General's Chamber through the Solicitor General to try and see, because we framed the question. We also engaged ECZ to see if the same thing could happen. But we came to the conclusion that the referendum is going ahead whether we like it or not. And the fact of the matter is, we didn't, as an association, feel that we should miss an opportunity to at least try to get the Bill of Rights and the other amendments to the Constitution passed. I think it's important to mention that we didn't have issues with the content of the proposed changes. We reviewed everything, and they're pretty much the same as what is contained in the final draft constitution, which all three CSOs which were advocating for a new constitution, that's exactly what was contained in the final draft constitution. So in terms of the content, those rights are the same as that was what was in the final draft. So our concern was with the protest, that this is not the timing to hold it together with the general election, and that the referendum question could have been better phrased if not split into two issues. But the fact of the matter is the government is going ahead regardless. So we're saying, why miss out on this opportunity, if it's possible, to try and encourage people to vote, to have those rights changed, even though the situation is not ideal. Because the position we took is that government has been changing its position, becoming inconsistent and unpredictable in terms of the constitution-making process over the years. And it's not just this government. It's successive governments. We've been trying to get a new constitution for 25 years. And so we're saying to ourselves, if we miss this opportunity, do we know what's going to happen in the future? And is this same opportunity going to be afforded to us in the near future? We don't know. And so we took a position that, even though the situation is not ideal, rather take it and miss out altogether. And we're doing this in the interest of the people of Zambia, because the Bill of Rights introduces several rights that will enhance the rights of citizens. And we took that position in the best interest of the citizens. For example, the amended Bill of Rights, as proposed, will introduce a right to privacy which was not there before. The access to information, freedom of the media, protection against arbitrary detention, gender equality, and then it also introduces a new set of rights which have never been there before, such as economic, social, and cultural rights, like the right to health, the right to education, shelter, good sanitation, all of which, the majority of Zambians live in abject poverty. And if there's something that we can do to help them get rights that will access a better life for them, then I think it's our responsibility to do so. Unfortunately, as I said, that part of our statement was totally cut out of most of the media. So it just seemed like we had completely changed, but really, the concerns we had are still there. We still think it's not ideal, but we're seizing the opportunity that we have.
Excellent. Excellent. Thank you for sharing that point, and you have explained it very, very ably. On that same note, Ms. Kasonde, as LAS, I know you have done your research, your investigation, all the homework relating to the referendum. I am confident everybody listening, I believe, will agree with me that you have done your homework. Do you think the majority of the poor Zambians you have mentioned understand what is in the Bill of Rights?
They don't. And you don't even have to go to the poor Zambians to find Zambians who don't understand. Even educated Zambians don't understand. And that's because we feel the government, which should be the primary person who's telling people about what these rights are, because after all, we're all taxpayers. And
yes,
our tax can't go to providing public services such as civic education, then what are we paying for? Of course, civil society organizations can play a role, but we have limited access to funds, and we have limited access to people all over the country. And, of course, the government also has access to things like public media, which extends throughout the country, which, again, we have limited access to. And LAS is currently in the process of trying to source funding, and it's not easy because, for example, a lot of donors don't want to be seen to be taking sides as to which way the referendum should go. So it's very difficult to find platforms that will reach as wide an audience as possible without finding money to pay for that. That's a challenge we face. In terms of other CSOs, there's division. Well, some of them don't know which way to go. Should they take a stand? Should they vote? Should they say no? Because a lot of them still have concerns about the process. But as I say, we've taken the position that it may not be the most ideal situation, but we just have to work with what we have, and that's what we're doing. We've approached public media institutions such as NBC to try and help us send our message out. But that's still a working process, and as you know, time is going. Unfortunately,
yes,
I think the government and the players like ECZ can do a lot more to make sure that everybody is aware of what's going on. I mean, I was watching a program on Morning Live the other day, and NBC went down the road to ask people what the referendum was, and nobody got the answer correct because nobody's being told, which is very unfortunate.
In your opinion, your advice as a lawyer, a custodian of, I'll say this, a custodian of Zambia's constitution. You understand what I mean when I say that. In your capacity as LAS president, somebody who is doubting, your advice would be what? Vote yes, and what are the ramifications of voting no?
Well, as I mentioned, the position of LAS is that we will encourage people to vote yes, because
yes,
we think the advantages of voting yes are significant, because you'll get a whole new Bill of Rights which provides new rights that will only enhance democracy and human rights in our country. So those are the benefits. Voting no, of course, there's also the issue of the amendment to Article 79, which what the amendments to Article 79 do is they provide for which the Constitution will be entrenched. And by entrenched, I mean that so there's different levels of thresholds for amending a constitution. So most provisions in the constitution require just a two-thirds majority of parliament to say yes.
Okay.
But the entrenched provisions have an added security measure that require a referendum before the changes can be passed in parliament. Currently in our constitution, the entrenched provisions, the extra security provisions, are the Bill of Rights. Now, the proposed changes to Article 79 entrench the Bill of Rights and a few other provisions of the constitution, such as the supremacy of the constitution, such as the electoral process, such as the issue of the ministers and article and the proposed change to Article 79 itself, the new Article 303. So those will be the entrenched provisions. And it also changes the threshold for conducting a successful referendum on constitutional changes. So now it provides that 50% of registered voters must participate and that the majority of them must vote in order to pass a change to the entrenched provision. I don't know if that's made any sense to you. But the threshold for a referendum has now been lowered so that it's easier to hold a referendum. But at least there must be a 50% majority of registered voters. So that's what the changes to the Bill of Rights and Article 79 mean.
Excellent. Okay, in the few minutes remaining, we are...
I beg your pardon?
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
As a both of you know, that there won't be any changes. I'll tell you why that's a complication now. Because when the final draft constitution was completed, it was envisioned that the whole thing would be adopted by a referendum and then passed into law by Parliament. And that's what we call the people-driven process. But the government opted to go through a piecemeal approach by changing, making amendments to the Constitution through Parliament as opposed to going to the people to ask if they wanted the changes. So that left out Part 3, which contains the Bill of Rights and Article 79. And currently, for example, our Bill of Rights provides that when you're trying to enforce any of the rights under the Bill of Rights, you have to go to the High Court and then up to the Supreme Court, and you can't go to the Constitutional Court. So that's you can't appeal to the Constitutional Court from the Supreme Court. Because those provisions are actually contained in the Bill of Rights, but you have to go through the High Court and then the Supreme Court. So our Constitutional Court is cut out of a lot of the rights that are currently in the Constitution. It's only the provisions outside of the Bill of Rights that the Constitutional Court can deal with currently, which is a real mess. Once we have the new Bill of Rights come into place, the Constitutional Court will be able to adjudicate over not only the other provisions of the Constitution, but also the Bill of Rights, which will make a lot more sense. Mm-hmm.
Excellent. Well, Ms. Kasonde, you are educating us. We are learning a lot here. Let me take a few questions from the callers. Those of you that have called in, please press 1 on your phone keypad, so that I know that you have a question for Ms. Kasonde. Let me go to Canada. Roger, please go ahead.
Thank you, Nathan, and thank you, Ms. Kasonde, for coming on our radio discussion. Like in any country, Ms. Kasonde, legal understanding, I think sometimes, or representation, is for the privileged. And I say so, in Zambia we have Kamfinsa prison is loaded with prisoners. Some have not even seen a day in court. You are a learned lawyer. Justice delayed is justice denied. As an association, Mrs. Kasonde, is there something you can do to make sure some people get the right representation and we offload a lot of these people who are living in bad conditions in our prisons in Zambia?
I think that we're very much aware of the inadequacies of the legal aid system in Zambia. But I think it's important to remind people that that is actually one of the public services that government is supposed to provide. Another reason why we pay tax. So the fact that it's deficient really is something that government should address. As an association, of course, we realize we're lawyers. But legal aid costs money as well. What we've tried to do in the past is to enter into agreements with donors to try and do, to have a legal aid fund for lawyers to collect files from the legal aid board and do cases for small fee, and that works quite well. Need more so the same book. Which is a project done by LAS. But at the moment, it only serves legal
Mr. on the weekend. We can barely hear what you're saying. The line is static.
Looking on, and that we're looking.
Okay. Half of the things that you have said are not coming through. We don't know where our line has been.
Oh.
Yeah, has gone wayward. Now I can hear you. We can hear you now.
Okay, would you like me to repeat?
Please do.
Okay, so I started off by saying that LAS is very much aware of the inadequacies of the legal aid system in Zambia. There's not enough legal aid lawyers to service the entire population, and most people in Zambia can't afford legal fees. And then I said that you should remember that legal aid is a government service for which Zambians contribute tax towards. And ultimately, I think there should be ways that government can address the deficiency of the legal aid system, because that is one of the reasons that we pay tax. Of course, there are other problems in terms of there are not enough lawyers to service all the citizens in Zambia. These are not to increase quite quickly. I think ultimately, what we tried to do in the past is to work with donors to do pro bono schemes. Issue with funding, because providing free legal services is not free. And as an association, have limited the source of the people. The association,
Roger, are you there?
We have a sufficient number of lawyers to cater to the population.
Hello. Your line is really not very good. Anyway. We are not going to make you say the same thing 2-3 times. The point that you have made, Mr. Swante, before I go to another somebody, Dr. Kalonde, to ask his question, deficiency of the legal aid system. Here is what I'm saying. I fail to understand things like that because the government, I don't know whether it's the government or it's the constitution-making process, we just introduced the constitutional
and appeals courts. How are those, are the operations of those things going to come from the Zambian budget, or they are being funded? If you are talking, we can't hear you. Okay. Roger, am I here?
Yeah, I can hear you, Nathan. I have to. I have dropped all the lines. I think there was so much noise in that one.
Oh, okay. Is our guest with us, Dr. Kalonde?
Yes, sir.
Okay, I'm just making sure that I'm here, Cletus.
Yes, sir. We can hear you.
Are you all hearing what she's saying? Whenever the line is clear, she's coming through.
No. She's, the line is very, very bad. She's going and coming.
Yeah, there were some parts where there was a part in the beginning, in one area, where she spoke continuously and everything was very clear, very nice, and you commented after that. But
okay,
the last
I think Mrs. Gassonde is back. We heard most of what you had to say about the legal presentation, Mrs. Gassonde. I don't know if it's my follow-up or just my comment. I would say it is very unfortunate. I think we find a lot of our people forgotten in jail. Nathan, over to you.
Okay. Ms. Kasonde, I was saying that you've made a statement to say we have a deficiency of the legal aid system. And my question was, I don't know, by constitutional amendment, Zambia has introduced or created constitutional and appeals courts. Is that being funded, or
mm-hmm.
that will be part of the judicial, Zambia's judicial system budget?
The introduction of the Court of Appeal and the Constitutional Court has nothing to do with the legal aid system. It's purely an enhanced court system through the judiciary.
Yes.
So really, for example, the Constitutional Court is supposed to be a specialized court dealing purely with constitutional matters. And according to the law, it's called a court of first and final instance. That means
uh-huh.
the case starts and ends there. There's no appeal. So, as I mentioned earlier, originally when the final draft was done, it was envisioned that the whole final draft would be adopted by referendum and be passed into law by Parliament.
Yeah.
But of course, as I mentioned, we're still waiting for the Bill of Rights to come through. And once that's done, we should see we hope to see a more focused approach to constitutional matters. We would like to see a constitutional court that actively tries to do what's called judicial activism, that is to promote and enhance the rights of citizens, rather than try and be very legalistic about it, but really try and do as much as possible to ensure that citizens' rights are protected and enforced, constitutional rights. In terms of the Court of Appeal, that's just another level of appeal. After the High Court, you appeal to the Court of Appeal, and from the Court of Appeal, you can appeal to the Supreme Court. I think really what that does is decongest our courts and decongest the Supreme Court, because you'll have to prove your case worthy of going to the Supreme Court from the Court of Appeal. And,
okay.
of course, it introduces more judges, which, again, decongests the courts. So these are welcome introductions to our judiciary.
Excellent. Before, just a follow-up on that. I don't want us to lose this trend of discussion or thought. Obviously, that means that there has to be judges that have to be appointed to those courts. And we have seen President Lungu appoint the
mm-hmm.
judge. What is the constitutional procedure of appointing judges?
We have in place the Judicial Service Commission, which is a commission which is, I think it's contained in the Constitution. And essentially, people can apply to become judges through the Judicial Services Commission. So the Judicial Service Commission interviews the candidate and recommends to the president who should be appointed, and then the president appoints, and following the presidential appointment, the name goes to Parliament for ratification. That is the current process. You know, having spoken to colleagues in the region, I think the one of the challenges with our system is it's so heavily, you know, all judges are presidential appointees.
Okay.
I've seen, for example, in South Africa that with the exception of the Chief Justice, the Judicial Service Commission in South Africa accepts applications, interviews, and appoints judges. So it's supposed to be an independent organization, which it doesn't require presidential appointment or even ratification in Parliament. Once the Judicial Service Commission appoints you, then you become a judge. So there's,
okay.
there's little political, involvement. And maybe that's something that we should look at in the future as we go forward as a young democracy.
So basically,
but I have to say that in South Africa, the Chief Justice is a presidential appointee.
Okay. And the other judges in South Africa are not presidential appointees?
No.
Okay. So
well,
basically,
if they
what
are,
we are.
The
I wanted to say that. So basically, what we have witnessed in the past few weeks or months is that the president has appointed these judges. That's what I want us to clarify.
Yes, the president appoints all the judges.
Okay.
But
all
on
right.
the recommendation of the Judicial Service Commission.
Okay. Let's go to Montana. Dr. Kalonde, please go ahead.
Yeah, my brother... I'm very happy that this lady has come on the show. Thank you very much, my sister, for doing that. And to be honest with you, I don't know if you are psychic or not. You just answered my question about appointments, which I actually, because we've discussed this on our show, and Kevin has brought up suggestions, and I was trying to find out how we can go about these suggestions that we have on our show. But here we go. Just talk about it, and I feel like, hey, you snatched it from my mouth. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Okay. Let's go to New York. Mr. Ntimpa, did you have a question? Okay. Let's go to Maryland. Obama neighbors. Dr. Kasonso, did you have a question?
Yes, I wanted to find out about more information about the issue of the referendum. You had asked a question about the Law Association of Zambia backtracking on the referendum. So I wanted to find out what is their position on the referendum and what is the rationale behind what... their position is on the referendum.
I actually did go into this in some detail. I think what was that, while we still have concerns over the process in which the referendum is being conducted, that is, it's being held alongside the general elections, which we thought might lead people to vote according to political affiliation, or association, rather than being objective. The other issue we had was over the framing of the referendum question itself, which we think put two questions in one when really people should be given a choice as to which way to vote on the other. But having looked at the content, we have compared the content of the final draft constitution, which we as an association had endorsed, as well as other CSOs, and compared it with what is being proposed, and they're the same. So we're saying, why lose out on the content if the government is not prepared to budge either on changing the referendum question or on holding it together with the general election? We're saying that we don't know when next we could get such an opportunity. So it's not that we've lost our concerns. We're just saying that we have to make the best of a bad situation, because ultimately, if those rights are given to the citizens of Zambia, their lives will be improved greatly, significantly. And we felt as an association that, you know, rather than stick rigidly and let me make it clear, we never said to anybody in the public that don't vote in the referendum. We never took that position. All we did was to express our concerns with the process. And in fact, we just took the position that we might lose an opportunity, even though it's not a perfect one. That's really the standpoint that we took, because we tried engaging the government, and it didn't work.
Okay, and my last question is, does the Zambian tax code or tax law allow for graduated tax payments, or the ZRA is only mandated to collect all the taxes, all of it at once when they like? Or are there provisions in the law that allows the taxpayer to graduate their payments so they can liquidate the tax burden according to their economic ability?
I think there is provision for one to liquidate your tax dues in installments, but that is at the discretion of the Commissioner General of ZRA. So really, it's not a right. So that's really the position.
Okay. Thank you. Let's take... I think we'll do two more, then we'll conclude. Minnesota, Mr. Natala.
Thank you very much. Thanks, Mrs. Kason. I just had a question over what would you say, are we in a good position? Because I see that this referendum issue is also an issue where the government is trying to do a piggyback over the cost of doing a referendum independently because of the funding that came for the election. So are we really doing the right thing at the right time, or we have a push over piggybacking, which, you know, I think in the security
as
system...
As I mentioned before, the last position... Sorry?
Go ahead.
Hello? Yes, as I mentioned before, the last position is still that this is not ideal timing, and we would have preferred a standalone referendum so that the issues are separated away from political issues. But, as I mentioned, the government has not conceded to that point. They have not moved. And the fact of the matter is that the referendum is going ahead with the general election. Another fact of the matter is time is running out, and the longer we spend debating, arguing, time is going, and we may miss an opportunity if we do not see this. That's really where we're coming from. Not that there's no concern with the timing. The concern is there. But what can we do? Do we lose out on the opportunity, or which we don't know when we'll see it again? See, these are the odds we have to weigh.
Excellent. Okay, let me take one more question. We're running out of time. Dr. Munsanje.
Yeah, thank you, Nathan. Ms. Kasonde, thank you very much. You had made a very nice presentation. I just have one quick question. There's this issue right now in Zambia where the ministers are staying in office after parliament was dissolved, Obviously, that has the ramifications in the coming presidential election. So what is the position of the Law Association of Zambia about that? And is there anything that can be done by law enforcement towards this?
Well, I just would like to inform you that the LAS put this issue to court immediately when the government took its position that the ministers would stay in office. So we made a statement and we filed papers into court seeking an interpretation from the court as to whether the government's interpretation was correct or whether the LAS position, which is that ministers should vacate office, was the correct interpretation. So... currently, the matter is in court. We did also make an application to restrain the ministers from continuing in office. We lost that application, but we still have the petition to be heard on the substantive issues on the interpretation of the provisions on whether the ministers can stay in office or not. That has yet to be heard.
Excellent. To those that are listening, those of you that are going to listen to the recorded show, I'll tell you this, Mr. Sonde is a prolific writer. She's written powerful articles and things. All you need to do, we all know what we're supposed to do. Just go and put Linda Kasonde in your search engine, and it will bring up a lot of the articles that she has written. Actually, there's one still standing in Lusaka Times. If you go to Lusaka Times, there's still one article there that Ms. Kasonde has written. I don't even want to go into what she has written in the articles. That's another show on itself, and a lot of things to learn from this lady. Ms. Kasonde, as our concluding, I want to ask you this question as we conclude our discussion. Thank you for taking the time to talk to us. Hope you can come back after the election so that we can talk about other things pertaining to our not just politics or democracy, but I am extremely impressed by the things that you have written in the two articles. I mean, I was just blown away. Here's my final question,
Valinda.
There is the issue of young girls being given into early marriages. And this is mainly taking place in rural Zambia, which ruins their educational prospects and any further development in Zambia. Does the Constitution address this? How can we, and I'm not going to say last, I'm going to say how can we as a nation and the citizens address this issue, because these girls' future is basically being doomed.
Well, following the 2016 amendments to the Constitution, the legal marriage age, I think it's now 19. And when you put something in the Constitution, it binds everybody. So... So any law or any act that contravenes the Constitution is unconstitutional. Now, the challenge is the problem that you find in the rural areas of early marriages are cultural and, and things that have been going on for many years. And laws don't change that overnight. It's really a question of you really have to engage people, make them understand the benefits of waiting a bit longer and of going to school. And this requires sensitization, education, civic awareness. And that's really how you will get people to change. Really what we need more than anything is mindset change, because the law can't do that. And it's certainly not something that can happen overnight. I'm pleased to see that there are many NGOs that work in this area, and we hope they'll make headway in time. But one thing that could dramatically increase, improve the situations of such girls is increased access to education. And if we get a new Bill of Rights, there's a right to education there, which we hope will be accessed and used in favor of such children who are being disadvantaged.
Excellent. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that was our show today, and our guest, Ms. Linda Kasonde, first woman elected president of the Law Association of Zambia. Those are some of the issues we shall talk about next time she comes on the show, women in leadership and development and related issues. Ms. Kasonde, we do thank you for taking the time.
Thank you so much for having me, and thank you, viewers, for listening in.
Yes. Please tell Mr. Sakala I appreciate his efficiency, too.
All right. You all will do.
All right, everybody. Okay. That was our guest, Law Association President, Ms. Linda Kasonde. Let me open the microphones here. Sorry if I didn't get to you. Some of you, I called you, your mics were on mute or something like that. And before we conclude here, I've got 18 minutes left on this show. I'll let Daniel also talk about what's happening tomorrow. Okay, I was very concerned. I'm not trying to be malicious here or whatever. We've heard from the Law Association of Zambia. I was very concerned at President Lungu appointing judges when Parliament was abolished or shut down or dismissed, whichever word you want to use. I think our democracy has got a lot of learning to do, like she has said. Kalonde, you said I read your mind and I was psychic on this. To be honest with you, if that was the only thing I was going to discuss with Ms. Kasonde, that was going to be the only thing. But I had to bring in a lot of matters because for me, and I'm going to be very plain and straightforward here, a few minutes ago I was protecting President Lungu. For me, it appears you are setting up a platform to protect what is about to be an outcome of an election. That is my concern. I do not see these judges ruling against me when it is me who has appointed you. Dr. Kaunda used to say, stupid idiots, don't bite the finger that feeds you. I don't know what you want to say. Dr. Kalonde, I'll let you come in and then Cletus. I called you, Cletus, to ask a question, but you must have been busy or something. Kalonde.
Yes, I think, you see, this is an issue that we have really spent time on, and the Kelvin, as the athlete put it across, that we need some change in terms of how judges are appointed and our judges are used, which brings to the fore the issue of separation of power. And the response she gave about how South Africa does it and how, you know, the president just appoints one person, that is exactly the system that we also enjoy here. It doesn't mean that, it could be the perfect one, but at least it shows some semblance of separation of power, because we can see the difference that took place, even with these independent judges that are appointed by investigators. Like we had the issue of impeachment of our former president, Bill Clinton. So, you know, it tells you that there is a separation of power. Now, what we see back home is somehow, to me, scary, because if the president chooses to go after you, then you are doomed, you are dead, and that is the end of your life. You see? That's where the problem is in most of the African countries, actually. So it is quite important that this thing was brought up. Now, the only thing that remains is how do we go about it? Who helps us back home to champion this cause? What is there for us to have this
being put in the Constitution or in the Constitution Amendment. That's what I was thinking about. I think it is the biggest challenge that we have if politics in Zambia will change or corruption will stop. Because this issue brings in even the reduction of corruption. That's how I look at it.
Cletus, you want to respond, and then I'll bring in Daniel, who's a political scientist here, political science major. I don't know what you want to say, Cletus.
I was listening, and then at one point, you know, it just shut me out, and it was showing that the line was live, and yet, you know, I had to seek advice from Roger. And then he advised me
that could have been the time.
Now, what I listened to, and my disappointment is that Roger asked a very, very candid question to her about prison congestion, you know, and the justice system. And she just pointed one little impediment, and that is the legal aid and the funding. The bigger picture is that the entire justice system in Zambia needs a comprehensive adjustment, you know. Mm. The people that are arrested in Zambia and don't have even the opportunity to see the magistrate or the judge is so high that contributes to the congestion, you know. Whether we want to compare or not, in America here, if you're arrested within 72 hours, you don't appear. You have to be let free, you know. So
yeah, because I noticed, I noticed that in America they even take you to court on Saturday or Sunday.
Oh yeah, it works in New York. It works 24/7 because they know that people have you are innocent until you are proven guilty. So your day before the judge is something that is very, very key and very important. Now, if the Law Association of Zambia doesn't look at it that way, they are just looking at the legal and the representation and the lacking of the money to do it. It's not the biggest problem. The biggest problem is, can they suggest that you have community service, for example, for petty thieves? Somebody in jail for 3 years for stealing a chicken, you know? How can such person reform? So they concentrate on punishment rather than correction. And government may not see that, but an independent body of professionals like a law association is supposed to be able to be concentrating on trying to work a bigger, more comprehensive way for the justice system in Zambia.
That's a very good point. And I thought Wana Kasonde, that was a very weak answer she gave. You know, just even listening to her speak, you could tell it is something they don't spend time even thinking about. We have our brethren. Like we are advertising, we are going to have a show on top of the hour, Nathan. Please,
40 minutes from now, we'll take a break.
If you have time, please, let's talk about this item as well. Let's talk about this.
Mm-hmm. Well, Roger, on that one, actually, I don't know if Nathan has sent you a text message. I just want you to know that I've sent a text message to Nathan about the show that is coming up. Don't feel like I forgot about you. It's just that I've been on the road.
No, you didn't forget. You're going to be there.
Yeah. You guys, no. Something else. I've sent a message. You know that I was in Missoula, and now, right now, I'm in Oregon. So I'm still on the road.
Okay.
But I'll get back to you.
We appreciate you taking the time. Here is what I want to say on something that we raised with Mr. Sonde before I bring in Daniel to talk about, to give his analysis and to talk about tomorrow's event here in Dallas. It comes down to our priorities again as a nation, okay? To be honest with you, this thing of creating constitution and appeals courts, it looks good on paper or anybody discussing and whatever she explained. So you are creating a constitutional court. And the question I ask you, is it going to be funded or is it going to be on the national budget? Of course, it's going to be on the national budget. So you are expanding the budget without addressing the current needs that are there, like the issue Roger raised about the prisons being congested. You see the argument? It, to me, just takes me back to the issue of by-election. Sorry, I can't stop going there. That's like Roger can't stop going to Lusaka. I'll keep beating this by-election thing. I mean, I don't. The priorities are wrong. Daniel, what was your view or your perception about the whole discussion?
I think the question that Mr. Roger gave asked, I want to compliment Ms. Ibo that she didn't answer that question very adequately. I should have asked your question also related to it in regard to disability and everything like that. But I also realize that she's not going to give an adequate question, so I'd like to take slide. Yeah.
So probably what we need to do is next time I arrange for her to come on, what we are going to do is I'm going to get in touch with those of us that are consistent here to come up with a plan of action of how we are, what we should approach. I think judicial issues, prison matter, I mean, speed at which, what do you call it, cases are handled. I know this thing to do with the judiciary is a big thing. We have five minutes actually remaining. Mr. Daniel is launching a show tomorrow, and the inaugural event is being held tomorrow in Dallas. Daniel, tell our listening audience about that and invite the Dallas residents.
Oh, yes. Tomorrow is a very special day from 6 o'clock to 8 p.m. here in Dallas. We are having a very special event called Daniel Talk Show. And at this show, we are going to host a town hall meeting, and that in which we are going to discuss democracy and development, and in regard to the diaspora, to that. So we are trying to invite everybody in Dallas and to come to this show. I mean, to this show, and we are going to have this show here in Richardson. At Pastor Joseph Meyer Church in the evening, like I said. Now, this show is just one way, like INSACA in Africa, we have INSACA where people meet and talk about things and see the progress. But yet, then here we realize that we haven't had time, most of us Africans, that we sit down and discuss things that affect us or things that we want to do together in a sober sense. No, we haven't been doing like that. For me, this is one way that I think that we can start the discussing, you know, Daniel Talk Show. We'll be dealing mostly on issues, looking at Africa, and everybody can come on that show so that we can be discussing these issues. So really tomorrow is a special day because we are just officially launching this talk show. So look forward, probably in the future we can even host the same show in other states.
That's good. So those of you that are in the Dallas Metroplex, you are invited tomorrow 6 p.m. If you need further information, you can call Daniel or myself, or you can send us messages on Facebook, Daniel Somekela, or Nathan Nkama. In about 4 minutes, this show will be ending, but we're going to take a 30-minute break, and we'll come back. We are going to be live in Lusaka on one of the radio stations. Roger, what's the topic again? This is a big one.
Yeah, we are discussing political violence, and the question we're asking, who wins when we have political violence in a country, who wins and who loses? Why is political violence fought in the compounds, in poor areas, and not in Woodlands or Kabulonga? Would want to find out. And maybe if our listeners, those who are listening, we can bring this awareness to the people that probably they are being used this could be an opportunity. They can begin to see, a PF should begin to see the other person, UPND, as a brother and not as a as an enemy.
That's very true. It's extremely important for that issue to be addressed and to be looked at. That's the way you listen to our discussion with Mr. Sonde. Any thoughts before we conclude?
Thank you. Thank you, Vanessa. And the only question I have is, how many hours is the show this afternoon? And
Just 1 hour.
Oh, just 1 hour. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
Just 1 hour. It's a paid show. So, you know, these things are expensive, so you cannot go more than. But like I was saying, if a good number of us can be coming forward, just $5 each, a lot of our shows, our discussion, again, example Kretas has put forward, we should really push this idea. People should not always just go to jail. Safety and these other things which are non-violent, people should not go to jail. These are ideas we should share, not only on Block Talk Radio and the remain on the internet, but we should allow our people back home to listen to them, and probably we can begin to educate ourselves to and
from. Roger, that thing, I'm glad it came up. One time I was with a friend, and he got stopped somewhere. This is at like midnight. And so they took him there, and then we went to see him. You know, when we got there, we wanted to bail him out. They said they're waiting for the judge to come. And you know, I was real amazed, you know. This 1 o'clock in the morning, the judge had to come in read him his whatever, you know. It just made me feel like, wow, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm glad you guys have talked about this. Can you imagine, can that happen back home?
Yeah.
So those are the things.
During the discussion,
about.
We are going to talk about it. I think we'll bring it up on top of the hour. Please join the discussion. 30 minutes to go.
Excellent. Excellent. Everybody, thanks again for being part of this one with Mr. Sonde. Although the line at first wasn't very clear, but that's what happens
when
you're using cell phones. We do try to make these people give us their land phones. They do better on it. Reception, but thanks, my friend, for your help and everything. All right, let's take a 30 minutes break and we'll be back.
Kale osangalala Tuva inga choki Talema na pepo Kapena mbale wanga Azazi wakuti akula Azazi otawa mavuto Alimumanja mwake Kapena zaziwa Kuti afuniko limba Chifukwa ni mwamuna Afuniko vuti kila banja Kuti ni bambo wa nyumba Elo asatae wana Siunga ziwe Aza kusunga